I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time to become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, tonight's show will be jam-packed with information as usual, and we'll be centering around the topic of the past and how it relates to the present and the future, and we'll be talking about reality creation and new scientific discoveries. But before we get into all those things, I'd like to kick off our program in the usual manner by having a little bit of Japa Yoga, or mantra repetition. And that will be led by Sri Swami Satchidananda. So if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that'd be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari.
Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari
Hari, Hari, Hari,
Om, Hari, 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 Om,
Hari, Hari,
Om, Hari, 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 Om,
Hari, Hari, Hari,
Om, Hari, 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 Om,
Hari, Hari,
Om, Hari, Om, Hari, Om, Hari, 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 Om,
Hari,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari
Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari
Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Hari
Om, Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Hari
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Hari Hari Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Hari
Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Hari
Yes, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda leading some Japa Yoga. And Sri Swami Satchitananda was the founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes, and that was a clip from back in the 1970s. I'd like to now give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And if you're a new listener to ET Yoga, I should point out that I applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical as much as humanly possible. And that's in conjunction with developing your own self-sufficiency and sovereignty and creating your own excellent health, and also taking responsibility for taking care of your health conditions. And I might add that if you're really interested in that topic, which is totally preventing disease and how to keep yourself in excellent health, I would highly recommend going in the archives of the ET Yoga programs and checking out the May 20th and June 3rd programs in the archives. Best way to get to the archives, go to my website at etyoga.com. On the main page, there's a button there called Radio Archives. Just hit that one button. It'll automatically take you to the place where you can look up the dates of the programs that you're interested in, and they're also tagged with information about the subjects and topics of those programs. So there's no charge in that, and it's easy to do, and I know a lot of people have written me and said that they like to go over the ET Yoga programs anyway, just because there's a lot of information usually coming their way, and it gives them an opportunity to slow things down and make notes or whatever, and then do their own research on a variety of the topics that are presented. And I'd like to really give my thanks and appreciation to those people who listen to ET Yoga, who do take the time to write to me. And you can email me at paperfungo, that's P-A-P-E-R-F-U-N-G-O, paperfungo at yahoo.ca. And I'm very interested in ideas for program content. Also, I will answer any of your emails with respect to questions that are related to any of the topics that I bring up on the ET Yoga program. And nothing makes my day more than hearing about your successes utilizing information, concepts, and techniques that you do here on the program. So rest assured that I will get back to you. I'd like to kind of bring some science to the forefront of the program tonight with respect to two false scientific assumptions that we've operated under for about the last 500 years. And Greg Braden actually is the scientist that I first heard about this from. And as he states, he's shocked that actually every newspaper in the country hasn't covered these topics, because I'm sure most of the population of America isn't aware that that science has come up with these amazing discoveries. First one is there is the assumption that the space between things is empty. Well, that's been definitely proven wrong. And second, that our inner experiences, thoughts, emotions, beliefs have no effect on the world around us. And that's been proven wrong. And I might add that if you're a listener of ET Yoga, you'll know that at the heart of ET Yoga is, of course, the word yoga, which to me means union of you and your higher self. And information on ET Yoga is intended to help you on your spiritual journey and to assist in attaining self-realization. Some people would call that samadhi. And as well at the core of ET Yoga is also the concept about beliefs, because we know there's a demarcation line between those people who are really stuck in third density, who not only haven't heard about that discovery that your thoughts and your emotions, your beliefs have an effect on your outside world. In point of fact, it creates the whole experience of the outside world, because you can't experience anything in this dimension unless you're a frequency match for it. And I know that there are people who roll their eyes at that statement because they just can't imagine that they could actually be involved with helping to create their own reality. But in point of fact, yes, we do. And interesting to note that science keeps proving time and time again what a lot of spiritual teachers have been presenting for a long, long time. I might throw out a couple other fascinating science with respect to discoveries, and that's that the universe that we live in is holographic and fractal, and that the energy is that of consciousness, and that the language of interpretation, like any computer program, and it's very similar to a computer program, and the language of interpretation happens to be belief. So, in a nutshell, what you believe is. Some other interesting science is that this hologram also flashes in and out of existence. And that will give some people some pause, because it's kind of hard to get your head wrapped around that one. So that means that really, if you could really freeze the process of the flashing down to slow motion and actually experience it in a slow-mo mode, it means that there are times when your physical existence isn't present. And that also leads us to another scientific discovery, that consciousness is not in the brain. It's actually in the etheric field, or what would be commonly recognized by most people as their aura. So a lot of things have scientifically changed over the course of time, and unfortunately, we're, as a public, seem to be, you know, lagging sometimes decades behind these discoveries. I should also want to point out that, as Bashar has noted, that deservability is at the foundation of spiritual progress, because without it, all the techniques in the world will have minimal results. So, to me, that's really a foundational point. And it also connects to the fact that the mindset of victimhood mentality attracts experiences and that are negative. So victimhood mentality is connected to low self-worth and self-punishment and self-sabotage, and inner feeling that you are not loved and lacking deservability. And as Bashar so correctly points out, just by the very fact that you're here shows that the universe loves you unconditionally. And I think this is really a topic that really we never really see this concept brought up. Because it's so fundamental, because without a good feeling of deservability, as Bashar points out, you can only expect minimal results. Now, I'm going to be giving some information now about the present and the past, because I think this is a topic that I see with my own eyes. So many people are spending so much time with what I call old baggage. In other words, it's always nice to reminisce about pleasant experiences in the past, and it's nice to sometimes even go over, you know, things that have happened in the past to learn from them and then move on. Idea being here, key is move on, because the present is not the result of the past, and I know most people think that it is, but the present is the result of the present. Creation occurs in the present. the present is the normal, but it is actually optional. If you suddenly make a discrete shift in beliefs, you will experience a sudden discrete shift in your new and now reality. The present is the now result of what you now believe to be most true for you. The past has absolutely no effect on the present, except to the extent that you believe it does. So here we go with the concept that, you know, if you believe that the past has a direct effect on the present, well, then it does. But objectively, this is not so. As you change your present by changing your present beliefs, you are shifting into a different parallel reality, and that different parallel reality has its own future and past. So said another way, when you change your present, you are likewise also changing your past and your future. That is, you are shifting to a totally different hologram, which contains its own past that is consistent with its present and also its own future, which is likewise consistent with its present. You create the past and the future from the here and now. And the continuity that people think between the past and the present is an illusion. It's just like the continuity in movies is an illusion, since it really is like 24 discrete pictures per second. Therefore, the continuity is optional, and the continuity of the past is similarly optional. The past progressively leads to the present, but it does not cause the present. And just as movies can suddenly shift from one scene to a totally different scene, likewise, you can too, since continuity is not necessary. Only the present is real. Therefore, only the present can create the present. And if you insist on believing that the present is the result of the past, then you are now dragging the past into the present and now projecting that this seeming past has an effect on the present. And notice, by the way, that all this dragging the past into the present is also occurring only in the present. This is like dragging an anchor around rather than simply letting go of the anchor, which is the past, and living freely and easily in the present. Be free of the past and live joyously in the present. And I should also point out that a similar topic was also confirmed by Baba Ram Dass like about 40 years ago when he wrote the book Be Here Now, Now Be Here, because it's all about the present. And unfortunately, there are just way too many people that are hanging on to a lot of baggage that is really ancient history and should just be left alone. I should also point out that there's also a connection, as brought up by Teal Swan, with the Akashic Record, because the Akashic Record is basically a symbolic representation that the brain uses to represent the fact that every thought which has ever been thought exists. The Akashic Record is a collective consciousness, and it has been referred to as the mind of God, which, in case we haven't noticed, it happens to contain all the information of every thought and every vibration which has ever been thought in any way in all universes that have ever been since the first division of oneness or source. And it also contains a bit of future, in that from where you stand right now, you have paths of probability which extend past your lifetime. And the future is always a vibrational match to the present. And so if you change the thought in the present, the future paths change. So this is also confirmation of the same exact point. And by the way, also connecting this whole idea of the Akashic Record, like anything else, you're limited by your beliefs. And the only way that you can access information in the Akashic record or those energetic frequencies is by becoming a match to these frequencies first. So you would have to first believe that they exist, and second, you'd have to believe that you can get there. And then third, you have to structure all of your belief patterns so as to let go of third-dimensional reality in order to be a match to the Akashic record. I think that's very relevant kind of information. And actually, Bashar also suggests another way that you can get some help letting go of the past. And that is that the particular piece of music that is called Beethoven's Seventh Symphony, Second Movement, this particular piece of music is of the appropriate vibration to allow you to be in the proper state to attract whatever information, healing, situations, people, or opportunities that you require. And it also deals with the issue of letting go, forgiving the self, and the letting go of grief and regret. And this will allow you to let go of all those things, thereby allowing you to work with your vibration, and in this way, forgiving yourself, and thereby becoming more whole. And these chords are exactly, precisely what will tap into the idea of your letting go of the past, sorrow, grief, regret, and the forgiving of yourself, thereby moving you toward the vibration that will attract to you whatever information is relevant, which will allow you to be in the healthy state that is your birthright. And I've looked on in the YouTube, and you can find Beethoven's Seventh Symphony. It's only about 3 minutes, and you can get some half-hour or one-hour loops of that music. And that will also assist in helping you to let go of all that old baggage. And by the way, the other connection there is that when you sometimes look at the past and you get into blaming others for certain situations, the problem with that is it creates you as a victim. Then it's a vicious circle. So things like blame, complaint, justification, those emotional concepts are all related to victimhood mentality. And the good thing about taking responsibility for anything that has been created in your life is that it's your point of power, because if you created it, then you have the power to fix it, and you have the power to change it. And if you don't have the concept that you are 100% responsible for everything you experience in life, then it's so easy to use other people as the garbage can, blaming everybody else for certain things that didn't go your way. So a very, very important connection. And I might also point out that you create your reality from what you choose to believe about yourself and the world around you, period. If you do that deliberately and consciously, then you're consciously programmed. And if you're not doing it consciously, you'll probably find that somebody else is programming you. And you will mindlessly absorb from your 3D culture, your schooling, and your surroundings. And if you are unaccountable and irresponsible for your actions, I guess a good idea might be to sort of question what your beliefs are. So how you define yourself and the world around you forms your beliefs, which in turn form your reality. So my suggestion is take a piece of paper and a pen and write down what you think your beliefs are about a variety of subjects. And then see if what you're experiencing is a match for those beliefs. And I think if you're going to be honest with yourself, you'll find out that they do match. And it's only when you believe and program beliefs, especially especially if you have some beliefs that you want to change, then you want to override and replace them. And that, to me, is an important process of maturity. In other words, many of us, everybody, downloads their initial beliefs from their original caregivers. So over a period of time, probably until we're 7 years old, basically the primary thing we're doing is downloading beliefs. And some of those beliefs are great, wonderful ideas, but some of them may not serve us anymore. So we need to thank our original caregivers for those wonderful, excellent beliefs they gave us, and learn to discard the ones that don't work anymore. And if you believe that circumstances have you trapped, then they do. And they will until you change that core belief. Because we're creators learning how to co-create. And we're here to learn that you can and do create. And one of the key reasons for being in duality, Earth, is to learn how to create responsibly and consciously. And the principal professor is Doctor Cause and Effect, and the doctor makes house calls. And there's little difference if you believe that your present life is caused by incidents in your early childhood or by past lives over which you equally feel you have no control. Your events, your lives, and your experiences are caused by your present beliefs. And I think that's the key of tonight's program, is your present beliefs. No matter what your past is or what you think about your past, objectively speaking, there is no direct relationship. It's all about what your present beliefs are. And from the this all kind of information, the whole idea being that you change the present belief and your life changes. And that's the creative power of belief. And regardless of your level of light quotient, whether you're unconsciously creating or consciously manifesting, you cannot escape your beliefs. They are the enzymes through which you create your experience. So there's just no way to escape what you believe. Now, how about some tips about how to change beliefs? Well, your emotions are the key. When you feel an idea you don't prefer, like fear, self-doubt, sorrow, sadness, etc., the first thing is not to ignore it or suppress it, but to feel it fully and own it, because you can't change what you do not own. So just recognize, acknowledge, and own it, and then ask yourself this question. What would I have to believe is true about my relationship in this situation in order to feel this way, to react like this? Your higher mind will help you find the beliefs that are generating that emotional experience. Next, as soon as you identify the belief, it's gone. Because any belief, any definition that you consciously identify that is out of alignment with your true self, when you identify it, will automatically appear illogical and nonsensical. It won't make sense. That's how you know it's out of alignment with your true self. So as soon as you identify the belief that is out of alignment, it will automatically appear illogical to hold on to it, and in that second, you will no longer have it. Believing in your ability to change beliefs is the key that unlocks you and allows you to create the reality you prefer, which, again, we do by getting in touch with the belief that is creating our current reality and replacing it with the belief we prefer, thus generating the reality we want. And in Merlin's Book of Magic, which is called Merlin's Message, I really like the information they bring up there, because they say, before you begin, find your calm center within. And when you find yourself in need of anything, you are resonating in lack. As one of my friends used to say, you don't need. Sickness exists only as the absence of wellness. Darkness is the absence of light, and poverty is the illusion of scarcity. But in truth, there is no lack in all of Camelot, and the Merlin's message is all about Camelot. And keep in mind, all of life has both negative and positive aspects. You can't have one without the other. You know, it's kind of like there's a, you can call a coin, you can call one side positive and one side negative, but you have to have both to have a coin. And you cannot have one without the other. All that is makes up the whole of everything. And you feel less than holy when you pick apart or want to remove any part of the whole. This is where resistance comes into play, producing tension, stress, pain, disease, or lack of anything. When you remember to function as a whole being, you will naturally thrive because you're operating in the state of non-resistance. As you release fear, doubt, and worry, you get out of your own way and be in a constant state of celebration, appreciation, and gratitude, and you will manifest a rich and abundant life. And I think that is really cool from Merlin the Magician via Merlin the Magician, and that they have a really good website. It's at the Creating Camelot Club. And Bashar also chimes in a little bit with some ideas about using your imagination, because imagination is a very powerful tool that can be used individually and collectively. It is the conduit between the higher mind and the physical mind, and the pipeline through which your higher mind communicates to you, giving you ways to increase your excitement, passion, and living. And if you're willing to use your imagination without filtering it through a lens of fear, then you will find that the outcome will always be a positive one, that you will amplify any area of your life. Higher mind has a vast view and can see all the possible options that are before you in life, and because of this, it can guide you toward the option that is most you, that is, the one that creates the least resistance. Your physical mind can apply these higher mind ideas and bring you into wholeness when the two minds are working in tandem. The physical mind is not designed to know how things should happen. That's the job of the higher mind. If the physical mind tries to take on the job of figuring out the how, it will be burdened, weighed down, and tired because it is not designed for that. When you follow your passion, the how is taken care of because the higher mind can see the best way for you to get where you want to be. The transition of that how through the imagination is the physical sensation of excitement, joy, passion, and love. So when you're feeling excitement, joy, passion, and love, then you're in alignment with your higher self. And Bashar also teaches that the physical mind is trying to control life, which is the cause of most of our problems and stress. Since higher mind controls life, and ego only causes interference and resistance. And the ego is a cultural language. It's a language-based construct, a matrix of belief systems and memes that one has chosen to buy into or believe strongly, which has convinced the physical mind that it is in charge of making things happen, when in fact it is the fifth dimensional higher mind's function. The ego is like a mask the physical mind wears. The ego is what one has been told one is, or more specifically, what one has chosen to believe in. In other words, the ego is a construct or mind entity that emotionally attaches itself to ideas, creating an unreal identity, thus distancing itself further from the here and now. thus getting lost in the world of 4D manifestation and rarely receptive to the 5D world of the higher mind that transmits information to the 4D physical mind in the form we call imagination. When giving up ego resistance, thus surrendering to the natural self, one then experiences automatic synchronicity to a degree beyond that which the physical mind is capable of imagining. And I think this whole idea about spending time with your imagination, I think, is really important. And if you really look at the outside world right now, we see all these technologies out there and all these games and so many people being addicted to the computer games and whatever, and it's all based on focusing our attention outward, which really only produces brainwaves that are beta brainwaves. So it's this whole idea of going inward and accessing higher brain waves, as well as spending some time in imagination to imagine how you'd like things to be, or even better, imagining that the things that you would like have already occurred. As Merlin the Magician would say, implant those ideas as a memory, and it's a done deal. I should also point out that Bashar has a chess game analogy. And the analogy is this, that the higher mind is analogous to the player. And the template level reality is analogous to the chessboard. The collective automatic mind is analogous to the general rules of the game. The individual's automatic mind is analogous to the individual rules of the chess pieces. The physical mind is analogous to the point of view and behavior choices of the chess piece. And the physical mind's ego construct is analogous to unnecessary handicaps placed on the chess pieces, to the point that it believes it is the player and thus has to win the game or make things happen on its own. And I think that's a really, an excellent analogy based on circumstances as they really are, and which also relates to what is physical reality. Well, physical reality isn't by itself real, except the experience of it is. Physical reality and everything you experience in your life is created, whether you know it or not, whether you are conscious of it or not, through what you imagine your reality to be. Your beliefs, obviously, your definitions, obviously play a part, and your emotions play a part, and your thoughts play a part. But it is your beliefs, your emotions, and your thoughts that all wrap together into the triangle of your personality prism and makes it look, as it locks together in that triangle, that the triangle is the template of the imagination that activates your reality. And that's the conduit through which you send those beliefs and definitions, emotions, and thoughts up to the realm of the higher self, where manifestation is immediate and instantaneous, and energy is all-pervasive. Then the higher self, the higher mind, sends that thought, reflects it back through the imagination to the physical mind, and gives it to you. In terms of the passion of your true self, so that by simply acting on it, by simply following your passion, the higher self lets you know this is the wish you have sent me, and translates it into the language of the higher mind. So do it. Act on it. Act it out, and you will be speaking the language of the higher mind. You will be blended and harmonized as the physical mind and the higher mind into the holistic being, one holistic person that can then reflect that relationship into manifestation in an imagination reality that is being created by you. It's just a mirror. That's all it is. It's just reflecting back what you imagine it can be. And that's really an interesting comment from Bashar. He also points out that actually anything that can be imagined is real. Right now, somewhere in the infinite, multidimensional, multi-universe, in a parallel dimension of space and time, it literally and physically exists. Similarly, physical as this physical reality does exist. So physicality really exists in the infinite quantum soup, but we get to experience only what we are the vibration of, what is relevant to our chosen path, theme of evolution, and exploration in existence. And I think this is so true that, you know, if you're not the frequency of a certain bit of information, then it just goes right over your head. You're not in tune with that particular frequency. Similarly with situations. So I think this is, again, important type of information. And I might also point out that, you know, this whole idea that we have about everything that's new, that's technology, and everybody goes running after it. I mean, I don't mind telling you that, well, first, all technology is lowers your frequency. Really, as far as I'm concerned, spiritual people need to try to limit their technology as much as they humanly possibly can. I mean, if your job depends on certain, you know, amount of time utilizing certain technology, well, then maybe, I don't know, maybe you don't have any choice to an extent. But to whatever extent you can, my advice would be to limit technology. And we have a huge issue now with artificial intelligence. And, you know, by itself, artificial intelligence isn't mobile. But think about it. 90-some percent of the population's got mobile phones. So, yeah, it is mobile. It's everywhere. And it reminds me of a culture that I've been very impressed with, and that's the Essene culture. And after reading about the Essenes, what struck me was that here we are in the 21st century, and we think we're so cool and smart with all our little gadgets and stuff. And while this ancient intentional community, that it must have looked primitive to the outsiders, but they knew how to connect with their higher self and to project their consciousness to any event space and to know about our solar system and to heal themselves energetically. And while they used some outer technologies given to them, they didn't know how they were made or how to fix them, so they didn't become attached or too dependent on them. And why? Because they knew that their inner technology within their human form was far superior to any gadget or invention, whether it's a self-driving car, a rocket to Mars, or a quantum computer. And I know, you know, 20 years ago, I don't know, I guess we were told that, oh, all this new scientific inventions, oh, it's going to make life so much easier and how better things are going to be. Well, I don't know. I'm looking with my eyes, and the only thing I see is the only thing it's better at is controlling you and keeping track of you. And to me, this isn't really consistent with spirituality. In fact, another culture that I have to say that, okay, I would have some personal issues probably with the religious component of their lifestyle, but the current Amish, to me, at least with respect to the fact that they are basically eating, they don't eat the GMO'd foods. They eat their own homegrown foods, and most of it's organic food. They are not taking vaccinations, and they're kind of living a lifestyle that makes them a goal for many of us, actually. because the bottom and they're also virtually like technology free. So this is huge, and it came out a few months ago. I saw some science about the Amish community, and those things like cancer, heart disease, autism, they virtually don't exist among the Amish. And so it's pretty simple. I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that it's all about lifestyle. And unfortunately, where our society is headed is just more and more dependence on technology. Like, I don't get it. And just because everybody has a cell phone, I mean, it doesn't make me want to have one. I don't have a TV either. I mean, I'm distancing myself from technology as much as humanly possible. And I appreciate everybody's situation is different. Same with medical. If emergencies happen, so you may need medical. But to my way of thinking, sooner or later, they're going to mess you up because you're going to be taking their pills, or you're going to be taking some unnecessary operations, or you're going to be vaccinated with a bunch of nanoparticles and whatever else is in the stuff that they're wanting you to take in your system. And to me, none of it's very good. In fact, when I'm looking back at the Essenes, there were three basic principles that were followed by the Essenes in their healing practices. And first, it was believed that the divinity was expressed in the plant kingdom and as an antidote for the illnesses of the human kingdom, that for every illness there existed a palliative in a root, leaf, bark of a tree or a plant. And the Essenes, therefore, were herbalists in the highest sense of the word. And a second method of healing was to make use of healing stones, bits of various kinds of rock, or hardened earth, the power of such stones in influencing magnetic fields under the direction of one who is versed in this type of therapy became common knowledge, and the Essenes also created salves from natural sources. And the third method of healing, in which the Essenes were extremely well-versed, drew upon the healing powers of the invisible worlds around them. They acquired an unparalleled mastery in manipulating these healing powers of the superior spheres. They were also aware of the cleansing miracle of pure water. And I might add that in addition to all this, what I call fabulous concepts, distancing, not becoming attached too much to technology, and the other thing that they had going for them is that I just discovered this year was actually that they were very, very involved with yoga. And the Essenes actually practiced sevenfold method of yoga systems. And that included Raja Yoga, or silent meditation, hatha yoga, or the physical postures and breath work, and bhakti yoga, which was the love and devotion to God, the jnana yoga, the spiritual study and discourse. What they had was called laya yoga, which was the science of using the chakras to bring about higher states of consciousness and spiritual realization. They had karma yoga for creative work, for the upliftment of all, and mantra yoga, or verbal prayer, singing and chanting of mantras. And this system is almost identical to what Swami Satchidananda brought forward in the to America in his Integral Yoga Institutes. So my hat's off totally to the Essene culture. And I might point out as well that although each of us is on a unique path to enlightenment, there are some common threads similar to everybody. And to me, square one is the planting of the seed. And this is actually what the real meaning of a baptism is, because it's the realization that there are higher levels of consciousness and that we have the possibility of not only experiencing these states, but also actuating them. And this forms the basis of a self-search or quest for enlightenment. And once the seed is planted, we grow at the rate we grow. And usually, most people will also realize that they cannot afford the waste of energy to get caught up in anger all the time. And you can lose the energy you need for higher consciousness on a daily basis in 5 minutes of anger. And in the early days, I used to keep a log of when I got angry and was actually surprised at how frequent it was. And in time, you realize that you have full control over this. And when you get lost in anger, you actually think you are the angry thoughts. And just by observing the process, you take away some of the power. And this is because you have the capacity to be aware of your thoughts and thus build a center of calm and peace. And most spiritual people also develop some kind of meditation practice. Mantras such as the Hari Om and Om Shanti serve to hook you into astral communities. It's also true that just like a tuning fork, a higher pitch or tone wipes out the lower frequencies. And just similarly, when two people meditate together, the higher and the lower will merge and both will vibrate at the median frequency. And this can come in a variety of ways and techniques, but it also is the start of developing some kind of discipline, the spiritual work or routine that clearly sets the stage for this being a priority in your life. And I might also point out that many people do seek teachers or gurus or so-called gurus. And to my way of thinking, there's two types of gurus. There's the Sat Guru, who is the way, and the Upa Guru, who points the way. And I think that certainly those people who are listening to ET Yoga, like all information, you can use what you can use. And I hope that you picked up something in tonight's program that you can use. And I want to also take this opportunity to share with you two products that I don't have any connection with in terms of profit from, but I find these are coming up more and more frequently in my daily discussions, and that is a Japanese researcher, Yuki Nina, that's N-I-N-A, studied 500 different antioxidants over a period of 30 years and found the most powerful and effective antioxidant of all those tested is an ancient Ayurvedic herbal preparation called Amrit Kalash. And that's A-M-R-I-T, Amrit Kalash, K-A-L-A-S-H. Research shows that the antioxidant capabilities of Amrit Kalash are at least 25,000 times more powerful than those of vitamin C and E. Taking it is like supplying you with a Star Wars deflective shield. And this astounding ambrosia is comprised of 44 different herbs and fruits that seem to work synergistically, enhancing the natural strength of one another's antioxidants. And if you know about anything to do with cancer and free radicals, well, antioxidants are the way to go. And This one is really a bombshell. I'd also like to mention another product called Haritaki, H-A-R-I-T-A-K-I. And according to Swami Nithyananda, it's the drink of the gods. And this wonder medicine removes the body's toxins in a natural way, makes one more energetic, also purifies the blood, and removes fat residues from the arteries and veins and heals diabetes, hypertension, and heart problems. It helps the vision to become sharp. And no wonder, it provides the body with 300% more oxygen, and taking it is equivalent of doing 2 hours of pranayams. Two amazing, amazing products. I'd like to take this opportunity to wish my listening audience my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And also, I appreciate your support in purchasing my new book, which is ET Yoga 2012 and Beyond. It's available at my website, etyoga.com. And now I'd like to close the program in the normal manner by sharing with you the Who Am I technique. And basically, I first came across this from Baba Ram Dass and also from Sri Ramana Maharshi. And it is, to me, a very, very powerful tool. And the idea here is to place your full attention in the center of your forehead and become that spot. Then ask the question, who am I? And you can do that a few times or once or twice or whatever, but the idea here is to be totally focused and concentrated. And then state the following. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.